We're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and be looking at some verses starting at verse number 12. And a couple of months ago, back in November, I had an opportunity to do a lesson, and I didn't have a title for the lesson. All right,
good morning.
Didn't have a title for the lesson, but I guess you could look at it as giving thanks to God for allowing us or using us to be able to spread the word, and being thankful that He does that, that He does do that in using us to spread the gospel. So we're going to be looking at that continuous a little bit, trying to go on with that. We covered a not much ground, I thought, but you know, whenever you start doing something good, time always seems to run out real quick. But hopefully, it will refresh some of your memories that were here, and it will give us some food for thought to help us in our everyday walk, as I said in the prayer, to being better Christians. I wanted to use words won't come to me, but I want to use from this lesson, Paul. I want to use him as an example, as what he did during that period, and his desires, what he was trying to do, and how God used him in what he was doing, and being thankful all at the same time for everything that God blessed him with. As to begin with, Paul was on his way to Troas, and he was going there with the intentions of meeting up with Titus, because Titus was supposed to have been giving him some information about the churches in Corinth. And he was troubled because he had already wrote a letter there before about concerning something that one of the members was doing there. And he was troubled with that experience that had been happening there, and he didn't want to be too harsh on the members because he knew that they were the church was a new church beginning, but he wanted to let them know that they were doing wrong. So he was heavy-hearted about the things that he was saying to try to get them to correct the situation. He also was heavy-hearted because when he got to Troas, he didn't meet up with Titus. So as we go, like I said, we're going to start with verse number 12, looking in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, looks beginning with verse 12, and we're going to see what it says, and we'll talk about it a little bit. I'll start off with this verse. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened to me by the Lord. Also, verse 13, I had no rest in my spirit because I did not find Titus, my brother, but taking my leave of them, I departed from Macedonia. As I was saying, he was heavy-hearted because of not finding Titus. And we are coming up to this period in the studies with Russ, and God next week also with Dale. We're going to be talking about the opportunities of spreading God's word. And I don't know how you're going to feel about it. Some people, as the saying goes, I don't know enough. I can't tell nobody verse, chapter, book, chapter, and verse about the things I wanted to say. And I may not be capable with some of the lessons that we're going to experience coming up to help us in being able to do that. But it's still, as we know, Christ gave his commandment to go out and preach the gospel to each and everyone. So that's still our responsibility. And it's not so much as we have to do it like someone else. The fact is, we have to do it. And the best way we can do it is in our own words. And y'all going to get a good example of that today with me standing up here stumbling and bumbling and over-talking over myself and not pronouncing words right and all that kind of stuff. But hopefully you will get the gist of to have the courage to make the first move. And then God will be there with you to help carry you through it.
Well,
yes.
Our own personal testimony is sufficient for us to talk to someone about Christ. We don't need to be the most learned person out there, no book verse. We don't need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have that capability and some of us don't.
Right.
I don't.
I don't either.
Personal testimony is the most effective way you'll ever reach somebody.
That's good. Yes, you're right. Hopefully we'll remember that and be able to use that. That will give us the strength to just make the first work, make the first move. As far as just trying to make a connection with someone. And the opportunities, as Paul stated, the door was open. The door will always be open. It's just the point of whether or not we see it and then whether or not we take advantage of it. Sometimes we feel like we can't take advantage of it because not knowing exactly how to start off the conversation. Well, I give you this thought to think on. The devil works on each and every one of us in a different way. He doesn't just come and present himself to us just like that. He eases into our situation very easily, unbeknown to us a lot of times, until we think about, hey, wait a minute, this is not right. You know, I shouldn't be doing this, or I didn't mean for this to happen. Or then we realize and we think about it. Well, in a similar situation, same thing we have to do when we talk to people about Christ. Conversations that you speak to folks every day, you don't even think about. When people ask you, how you doing? And you say, I'm doing all right. And conversation just goes. Or sometimes it goes a little further, but it just ends right there. But when you start telling the person, I got up this morning, my back wasn't feeling too good, and then my legs were a little stiff, and I thought I was going to run a fever, and then they'll start saying, oh, my God, I didn't mean it. I knew all this. I just was asking him, you know, how he was doing. I just thought he was doing okay. You know, I didn't want to get into his personal life. But that door was open. You asked the question, how you doing? So there you go. Well, you can tell I'm doing great with the thanks of the good Lord. That's an opportunity right there. You know, the door was open. And they said, well, what you mean? If they asked that, then the door would stretch a little bit further. Well, if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't have got up this morning. You know, and then, I'm blessed. I didn't even realize that blood running warm in my veins. And I thought about somebody that I saw the other day, and they didn't even have no legs. And I got two legs. You know, that conversation could go so many different ways. But the door is open. But we didn't think about that. When they said, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing all right. I ain't feeling too good this morning, but I'm making it. You know, you take the opportunity and pray the Lord gives you the foresight to realize and take it for what it's worth at that time. And, by the way, anytime you've got a comment or question or whatever, feel free. Because I'm not just standing up here to talk. This is a group session. So we all part of the group.
Yes. We fall into that superficial, how you doing? I'm doing great, great. And you just walk on.
Mm-hmm.
We don't stop and talk to them. Hey, is things really going well with you? And if you know anything about them, how's your leg doing? I know you've been having problems. We don't stop to go in depth. We say, how you doing? I'm doing great. And we just walk on away.
Yeah.
And it's all superficial. We've got to get on a level where we can have a conversation. That's the only way we'll get to know each other.
That's true. And it shows that you really genuinely have a feeling for what you're saying, you know, not just saying it, taking it at face value, or just something to say. My daughter, we was in the store the other day, my daughter told me, we laughed about it. It was a little girl in the store, and my daughter went to pass by. She said, oh, excuse me. And the little girl told her, Oh, that's all right. Don't worry about it. And walked on all like a little old person. We were laughing because the way she did that. But like you said, we do stuff and we don't even think about it. But it happens. Yeah.
You know, a lot of times you have the chance when you ask people how you doing, and they tell you what the problem is. Stop there and say, well, let's pray, say pray about this.
That's very good.
And take this to God. There again, the door is open.
Mm-hmm.
They can either decline it, or they can say, yes, let's pray for this, you know.
Yeah.
And you don't know what you have accomplished just by that simple act.
That's good. That's good. A lot of times we tell people, well, I'm going to pray for you.
And never do it.
Yes. But if you can take a minute, so let's pray about it. And they say, well, I ain't got time. Yes, you do. Just 1 minute. And a quick prayer. Lord, please bless this person with this problem that they have right now and help them on their way. In Jesus' name, amen. 5 minutes. Not even 5 minutes. You know, 5 seconds. But it, like I was saying earlier, it shows them that you genuinely care about how they're feeling. And you're trying to do what you're supposed to be doing. Yeah. Okay, moving along. Verse 14. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Here again is a good example of what how the Lord steps in and not us, but through us, uses us to spread his word. And as Paul describes it here, as a fragrance, as a sweet smelling fragrance. Sometimes we pray that in our prayer, that our worship or whatever we do rises a sweet fragrance unto the Lord. And to God, it is sweet. Because we're trying to do the work of Christ, and what he desires us to do. As Paul says, always causes us to triumph. Whenever you're trying to do something good for God, it's gonna work out. You may not see it work out, but it will work out. We have to have the faith enough, as I said, to make the first effort. And when we take an opportunity to do something, no matter how big, how small, no matter how much time it takes, if you're doing something and you're doing it for the good of Christ, it could be as small as thinking of someone that's sick and you call. You think of someone that's sick, you take them a bag of fruit. You go to the hospital to visit someone. These things, little things, take a little of your time and a little of your effort. If you're doing it, trying to show these people that you care about them in the name of Christ, and you're doing it for a good purpose, God's going to bless you. He's going to also bless them. But now, if you're doing this so that somebody can see what you did, and you, I can't think of a good word to use, but you try to make it seem bigger than what it is because you did this, and you loud talking, well, you came in the hospital room with the fruit. Yeah, well, I stopped at the store, and I picked this bag of fruit because I was thinking about you, and I had to wait in this long line, but, man, it was no problem because I was bringing it for you, and, you know, I was thinking about you. To the people in the room, you trying to make yourself look like you did such a great thing because of this one person. And whether or not you made the other people in the room feel bad because they didn't consider that, it's not important, but it's still not good, you know. So just what you do, if you have it with the right intent, is what's going to work. Yes. Yeah.
And that's authentic, and
not fake and you even know it. There's no denying when you have or show the love of God through somebody, everybody knows that, whether they can take it or not, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes.
1 Peter 4:8. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers and love to do the same. Love is to love deeply, it's superior.
Mm-hmm.
How many of us really need the multitude of people? How we treat each other, what's in the heart? Because to say, we have that type of love for each other, but that love for each other, we have to cover a multitude.
Yeah. That's great. It's true. It's great. Like I said, we don't know how it will affect us, but we do know that God will bless us as well as the person that we're trying to help. If you're doing it from the heart and sincerely, if you're not doing it, well, no, you're not gonna get anything for that. You know, you'll maybe get recognized here on earth, but. What good is that? Because that's going to pass away anyway. Yeah. Most definitely. Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's another good example of just for self-gratification. Making it look like, you know, you did so much and somebody see you and then they're going to congratulate you on what you did. But that's all you wanted. Well, as Bible said, you already got your reward here. But, yes, think of the other person and do it for the other person. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It is. And you'll get a feeling, as you say, you get a feeling when you do something for somebody else. That feeling is really better than any money or anything you could have got anyway. You know, I mean, to know within yourself that you helped somebody. And I read somewhere once, I can't remember exactly how it went, but I know the essence of it was, if you're going to do something for somebody, do something with the expectation of not getting anything else back. You know, and not that I'm going to do this for you, but, you know, when you can, you pay me back. If you're going to do something, do it from the heart and without paying, you know, without the expectation of getting anything back. And you'd be amazed how good you feel. You have a really good, warm feeling of knowing that you really helped somebody. And you can thank yourself. At least I know I did one good thing in this world. If you can't think of any other thing, you know of one good thing that you did. Yes. Let her go first. Okay. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's not even that person that you did it for that's going to do something for you. It'll be somebody else that comes along to do something for you. Him first, then you. Go ahead now. That's right. That's right. It is. Down this. friends, you know, anybody that's close to you. Yep, sometimes. Amen. Okay. All right. Yeah.
You know, when you do something for somebody, and you see their gratitude,
mm-hmm.
it also helps you to realize how truly blessed you are. And if that don't bring joy to your life, to know what God has done for you, and want to make even more so to help somebody else, I don't know. When I help somebody in a certain situation, I'm always reminded of how blessed I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't help but feel good that I was able to share some of what God has blessed me with somebody else.
That's good. That's the way it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. But even though we think sometimes that we only have a little bit, and well, I don't have enough. But when you think about it, you have so much more than the person that you are trying to help. You know, and then I had an occasion to do something the other day, and I was thinking about my thoughts as to what I was intending to do. And then I got the thought, well, you know, they say it's not really yours, no way. Nothing is yours, you know, everything, when you think of it like that, you know, how did you get it, you know, what you, if it was meant for you, God gonna bless you with it again, you know, you'll be able to. So I said, yeah, I felt a whole lot better after that thought came to me, and I was willing, more willing, so, you know, to do, because for what they asked for, I was thinking about, okay, I could do that, I'll do a little of it, help them out a little bit, but then, after having that thought, I went on, you know, did what I could do to help them more than what I was intending to help them. And yes, I felt a whole lot better after that, you know, because I felt like I did a good thing. You know?
And a lot of times you feel like when you get into that situation and you see their true gratitude
mm-hmm.
for what you've done, I a lot of times wish I had more to give to them to help them in whatever situation that they're in. Sometimes you may have a little more to give,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes you just need to go and pray about it, that something better will come to these people.
Definitely, because the fervent prayer of the righteous carries a lot of weight, and it does means more. And if you can't, God knows, but the fact that you have it in your heart, you want to help. Mm-hmm. And God said, okay, yeah, I'm going to use that. Most definitely, yeah.
Bless mm-hmm. we think about it, when we say the parable of talents, we often, most of the time, too often, think we're talking about the money.
Mm-hmm.
You guy got the money, this guy got more money. But the talent is anything that God has blessed you with.
Yes,
it
is.
It could be a car, it could be a home, it could be your ability to cook, it could be your ability to put your arm around someone's shoulder and talk to them. Could be your ability to even just mourn a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't ever limit ourselves to what we got in our pocketbook. We know that we drive around in nice cars, and we know we live in a nice house with a roof over the top of our head, and we know that our wives, or we can cook a good pot of soup, hot soup on a cold day.
Oh, yeah.
And we know that many of our people, even here, that are sick right now, Amy, I just read yesterday, Amy's sister passed away.
Yeah.
We've got talents within us that God gave us. Forget the money part. The money's okay. We got it, that's great. But we've got more than money. We've got time.
Yeah. I was just, when you started talking there, I was just thinking about that. And the first thing came to my mind was time. Sometimes just to take the time to spend with somebody, especially in the case that thought came to me, in the case of someone losing a loved one, and you say, well, I want to go see him, but I don't know what to say. The fact that you just showed up, you know, and was there means a whole lot to people. Because some people that they consider their friend didn't even give them the time of day, didn't come back, call, say, I'm sorry, they even saw them and they never mentioned it. But the fact that you even take the time to just go there and say, you know, I'm sorry for your loss, and they see that you genuinely care, that's uplifting, and that helps a whole lot, you know. And you're grieving along with them, and there's no words to be said, you know. A lot of times, you know, I've experienced that when you are you see a person, they come to you at a time, and all you can do is just embrace each other, you know, and just stand up for a minute to hold each other. And it's like the song we sang about, he's my rock. You got somebody to hold on to at that particular time of sorrow, and you know that they care and they're grieving with you. That's uplifting. It's strengthening. It gives you strength to want to go on a little bit further. Yeah.
That talk can mean so much more than any words that you could have said.
Yes, it did.
That brings you in that personal
space. Hey, in that space. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that means so much more than people that will say, you know, I'm sorry for your loss. That sometimes sounds kind of just a casual thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when you get personally involved and in their sphere,
mm-hmm.
you can feel that they believe in you. You can feel the love that they have for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that sometimes means no words are needed.
You're right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. It does.
That's exactly right.
That's good. I hope, glad that we can start picking up on some things that we didn't even think about before. It will help us, like I said, in our daily walk. But to know, it's sort of like keeping us in the right path and knowing that, you know, we're trying to do the right thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Because as Sister said, you never know when it's going to come around to you, you know. And it may not be the person that you was thinking of or you was trying to help, but it could be somebody else. And then you realize, I should have did that for so-and-so and so, you know. Mm-hmm. And then, like, what we're doing, too, now, discussing it, when you discuss it with somebody else, or, you know, you get in a conversation with somebody, whether it be family member or friend, here again, we're spreading the word. We're spreading God's love. We're showing also as much as what we've learned, what should be done, how to go about it. And, you know, there's so many different ways in how we can get God's word out. You know, it's not so much as just standing up on a podium or a pulpit or, you know, trying to address a whole crowd of people. Sometimes the most effective work that can be done is one-on-one, you know. And you can take the time to spend with somebody and explain and talk with them and give them a thought that, oh, I never thought about it like that, or I didn't ever see it that way. Or you brighten their day and open up their mind. This is what God wants us to do in our daily walk. Yeah.
You know, as our secretary, Judy, she has Jessica that comes in to help her with the boards and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And has gotten to where Jessica will search for. Okay. She claims she's an atheist, but she comes in the church building. She quotes scripture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a good way to spread the word. Sometimes just getting in a crack or whatever you do and bring that in. You'd be surprised.
It's surprising to me from people that I've heard it claim that they may be atheists or I don't believe in God. But there's something wrong going in life. What's the first thing they say? Oh, my God. You know.
I got a niece over in Germany. Whenever there's tragedy,
There you go. There you go. Yeah.
So, I mean, but it gives you an opportunity, you know.
Yes. That's what we're looking for, the opportunities to take advantage of them, to use that to spread the word. And sometimes another important thing we don't want to look over and pass up. Sometimes you may not realize that you had an opportunity until that time has passed. And I've had that experience that happened to me quite a few times, when I may recognize that I should say something. You know, somebody may be two people carrying a conversation on, and they may be talking about God, or they're talking about the Bible, or they're talking about something that happened, and I have a chance to interject God in there, or say something, stand up for the Lord, so to speak. And words can come to me how I wanted to phrase it. Opportunity to pass. Then later I realized, I should have said so-and-so and so. I could have said so-and-so and so. Then it started ruffling off in my mind what I could have did, if I could have, should have, would have. But I can't beat myself up about it that at that particular time, because that time has passed. The blessing is I realized it. And I had so many thoughts came in my mind what I could have, should have did. Now, when the opportunity come up again, I'm ready. You know, I don't know how to step in. It might not even be a conversation that I can step in, but I'm going to step in it anyway and say something, even if it's wrong, and try to steer it to that point where I can get my point in about God. Yes. Huh? It burns. Yes, yes. It hurts you to realize it. Yeah. And you're going to feel something. Oh, yeah, yeah. And you look for that opportunity next time. It might not come that exact same way, but it will be an opportunity to come around again in a similar fashion, and you can get in it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Yes. Yes. Sorry. Mm-hmm.
I don't know what was going on, and I just needed to have
Yes. We fear what other people are going to say and think of us and how we look to other people. Yes. Yeah. But that's the thing. You recognize the opportunity. And like Chuck said too, sometimes maybe there's nothing that you can say or do. But you see that opportunity and you may not recognize it until later, but you see it and then you think of, when you think of it over in your mind, it's going to always be a if I could have, should have, would have. And then you'll think of something that, yeah, I could have did. But yes, it hurts, but it helps wake us up too. It helps us to realize, to come into a realization that we can do better, you know, than just that. You know, just, oh, I feel sorry for you. You know, we don't want to be like the priest that walked on the other side of the road. You know, we want to take the time and put our effort into it and let them know that we genuinely care. You know, but that helps. It hurts, but it helps. Yes. It happens to us all. Hopefully, yes, it would. But in our own different ways, it will affect us. You know, and if it doesn't, then maybe we need to take a closer look at ourselves.
Well, yeah. When Kathy was speaking about this and talked about this lost opportunity, we should talk to God about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and ask for that wisdom to recognize the opportunity and for Him to give us the right words.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you can't approach one person the same way you could the other.
Right.
You know, but also to when you see people like this and they are in need of a hug or whatever, and ask them, is there anything I can do for you in this situation? And another thing I wanted to add to that, Kathy is such an inspiration to all of us. That lady comes in that front door with the joy of the Lord in her, and I think she brightens everybody's day when she walks in.
Most definitely. Hopefully we all can learn from her and be like her in our own way, you know, in doing that. Because I'm sure people we come in contact with, there's some people, may not be family, and then again, it may be family, but it's some people that genuinely are glad to see us when they see us. You know, and they may come to you when they got a problem. They may come to you when they got a question. Or they may just talk to you where they can't talk to somebody else in their family or something. But I'm sure we come in contact with those type of people all the time, and we do brighten their day, you know. But we may never know it, you know. And it's good that we don't, because if we don't know it, it won't give us opportunity to puff ourselves up and make us think that we're more than what we are. Because everything that we do, as you just said, the actions that we do, if we're doing it for the Lord, it's going to prosper and it's going to be good. But we don't need to be recognized. I mean, not taking anything away from your experience, not taking anything away from what you said. God's going to recognize it anyway, regardless if it's good or if it's bad. What I'm saying is we don't need to be recognized and be patted on the back all the time.
No.
We like to get it, and yes, it's good for encouragement. But we don't need everybody as the stereo. Scenario, y'all forgive me, I can't get my words right. But the scenario is we don't need to be like the Romans walking down the alleyways and they throwing stuff on us and heaping us with with congratulations and putting stuff all in our path to make us think we're about this far off the ground, you know. But when somebody tells you you're doing a good job, you know, that's good. Okay, thank you. You know, for the grace of God, I know I'm doing right, you know. It gives me the strength to keep on going on, you know. But just, I know I'm not doing the wrong thing, at least I don't think I am. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, we do. It just don't, it's gonna hurt, but don't beat yourself up too bad when you realize, because that's, isn't that what we pray for? For God to let us realize when we make mistakes, we can correct it, do better next time, and He's not going to punish us severely to where we're going to get opportunities to do it again. But he gives us that opportunity, maybe not the same way, but in a different way. When we used to go to school, I'm sure all of you have experienced that. You went to school in a math class. The teacher wrote the problem up on the board. You wrote it down. You got it wrong. You had a test later on. It was the same problem. But it was turned around a different way. Whereas it might have been the first time, I don't know, some of y'all might can't remember back there for the elementary school, but anyway, back in the, when they first wrote the problem with 7 plus 4, you got it wrong. Now when you saw the problem again with 4 plus 7, you didn't pay attention to it because it was turned around different. The 7 was at the bottom, the 4 was at the top. The first time, the 7 was at the top, the 4 was at the bottom. The teacher turned the problem around, the answer was still the same. When you learned from that, you got your paper back and it was marked wrong, you learned what the answer was. You remember that when you saw that problem again, you saw it a different way. But it still was the same answer. You got it right that time. God does the same thing when he brings it to your mind that, okay, you should have did this or you could have did that, or next time, let's try this. The opportunity will come again, but in a different way. It may not even be the same people. It'll be somebody else different. Same problem. Same thing you need to do to solve it. You still give help in the name of the Lord. And then God blesses you and them for it. You know? So hopefully that we'll oh my goodness. I didn't realize we went that far. Well, what we were praying for, what I asked for in the prayer in the beginning, that we would get something out of this lesson that would help us in our daily walk. And from y'all comments, I believe that we picked up something today and it would help each and every one of us. So with that, I thank you for giving me the opportunity to stand before you. And y'all continue on doing God's work. That's the lesson. Good because of y'all help.